You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is another hour of Sports Daily. Let's kick it off with an HTO giveaway. If you want to win some free iced tea, you can do that right now. Just text the keyword T to 20357. We got some sun shining. Never a better time to try some HTO iced tea. Whether you're a first timer or a long time fan, you can get a free cup on us at either East or West Wichita or in Derby. That's T20357. Good luck, everybody. One entry per day, message and data rates apply. Welcome back into Sports Daily. We were talking Royals there. We can finish up with the Royals and then we'll move on to maybe some NBA playoffs. We've got Tim Fitzgerald coming up in this hour. If you want to get back to our shocker conversation that we had about the new recruit, you can go back and listen to that on the Odyssey app. So, Tommy, as we look at it, it's Bubich today. They don't get a day off until the 15th. So it's not until this time next week, until next Thursday, that they get a day off. It's a good point about Waka's depth into that game, because now it leaves all those other relievers we talked about fresh for this one. Bubich does have the ability. Let me go look at Bubich's. Let's look at Bubich's game log here. What's the deepest he's gone this year? Because he's got the conversion, of course, from being a reliever. He has given them seven one time. He's pitched, completed five innings every start this year. He's completed six innings three times. And then he's got a seven-inning start. So he's capable of doing the same thing against this offense. He has been lights out this year, been one of my favorite, if not my favorite, stories for the Royals this year. And he goes up against the White Sox in some afternoon baseball to try and complete a sweep. I think that's where we start. I mean, why wouldn't we? The pitching has been outstanding, and we'll see if Bubich can keep the train rolling.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they don't get any days off coming up soon, I mean, being able to lean on your starters to go deep into games and like what Waka did last night, I do think is important for Kansas City to continue on and do what they're doing. I mean, you know, I would imagine that once we start to get, if we ever got into a situation where during a stretch of baseball where there aren't a whole lot of days off and the starters are not able to go deep into ball games, they get beat up on early or whatever, and you start leaning on your bullpen a whole lot more, that's maybe when things go off the rails a little bit, and you then need to rely on the bats to get going to try to get back into ball games. But that's not really been the recipe. That's not what we've seen lately from Kansas City at all. And so if they're able to get another quality start from Chris Bubich, and I'm not even suggesting that he goes seven, if he goes six, if he maybe if he even goes 5 or into the 6th inning, at that point, I do feel like you've got a strong enough bullpen, especially with the lead, to be able to keep you in it.
I've tried to think a lot, as we've discussed the offense a lot this year, of like teams historically who have I don't expect the Royals to be near the bottom of baseball offensively like they are now. I think internally they'll get better than that. But I'm trying to like remember back to really good teams that really struggled offensively. I want to say there was a Rays team or two over the years that fit that profile. And I want to say in those early Bruce Bochy Giants years, there were probably some teams that fit that profile a little bit. So there's a path there. It's just like, it's a really weird thing to see it because I don't believe what I'm seeing offensively. Like, I don't believe that that's what it is. Like, I don't believe what we're seeing is the true potential of the offense. And so while they're playing the softer part of the schedule and they're pitching like this, it doesn't really matter. And that's okay. Like, that's fine. It's really like, what are we looking at? What is the problem? And even as some of these guys, Tommy, are starting to hit more, they're still struggling to score runs. It's really strange. We knew they weren't going to have any power. We could look at this roster before the year and say, yeah, that's not going to be a team because of the ballpark they play in, because of the number of hitters that they will put in the lineup that just flat are not power hitters. Like, they're never going to be a power team. That's not going to be their game, and that's fine. I don't think they should ever build that way. The greatest Royals teams we've seen in this generation were not power teams, right? Like, that, not playing at Kauffman Stadium. So as they have, like, Kyle Isbell's heating up. We talked about Drew Waters. Michael Garcia's hitting. Bobby Witt Jr. is hitting. Michael Massey's starting to get some hits. Like, all these guys are doing, but they're still not leading to any runs. And I'm like, what is it? Like, what would be the catalyst for this team to just open up offensively? And I can't figure out what it is. And as they go and try to identify players, like, what would be the thing? Clearly their deficiency is power, but I don't know that that's going to solve things for a guy that hits a home run a week or whatever, maybe two. That doesn't fix your overall issue. I can't quite figure out what it is right now.
I think some of it is that, you know, especially last night, some of the hits that they got were two out hits. And so they're getting runners on base but they're not in great positions to be able to drive those runners in. That's not always the case, but I feel like we've seen that more often than not when, you know, it's not like a lot of times they're getting a lot of traffic on with no outs or one out or whatever. And so a lot of two out hits, getting on base, not opening up a ton more opportunities to be able to drive those runs in. And so I do think that that's part of it for sure. But yeah, I mean, there's just kind of been a lack. And it's been one of the, I guess, negative things about this team is that it's not a lack of getting on base. I mean, they had 10 hits last night. It's the matter of getting those runs across the board. That's always been the challenge.
And taking advantage of it. Yeah, and that was something they were really good at last year. We mentioned Salvi and Vinny, and it really could be as simple as those two, which I think it might be. Like, those two were RBI machines a year ago, and they're just not this year. But I think that's also unfair to them individually to have that. I mean, it's not, because they're hitting in the middle of the lineup, and Salvador Perez is a future Hall of Famer, and Vinny Pasquantino is expected to be that. So maybe it's the wrong thing for me to say it's unfair. We've seen Salvi pick it up, and it still is like overall, we'll see. It's not, again, it like I foresee it being a problem like, I don't know, May 19th when they have to hit the road and go to San Francisco and then Minnesota, and then they've got Cincinnati and Detroit. Like, that's where. So what does that give them with Boston, Houston, St. Louis coming up? Gives them another couple of weeks to try and figure this out, and it gets you closer. We'll see. Again, none of it matters if they pitch like this.
And by the way, Vinny's
pitch
on
like this the rest of the way. It doesn't matter.
Vinny's on a little bit of a heater right now. I mean, he's got his average up to 210. You know, he's not lighting the world on fire, like from an overall average standpoint. But over the last couple of weeks, you know, he's hitting. He didn't have any RBIs last night, didn't drive anybody in, but he was 2-for-4. So he's got that average up over 200. And, you know, if he can continue on that path, is Vinny ever going to be a hit for average kind of guy like we see from Bobby Witt Jr. or Mikel Garcia? Probably not. But he can definitely get back up into the respectable range for sure. And that's kind of what you look for from him.
His 3-year average is 270, 268. I mean, if he gets back to that, they're cooking, right? Like they're going to be just fine. His OPS is over his career, a little over league average. But like they'll take that. They'll just take him being what he is. And we'll see if he gets back there. I think he will. That average lift, his floor, Tommy, the worst of it, once we kind of got into it, was at the end of April, it was down at 174, and that's how much it's cut. And it's at 210 after yesterday. That's a pretty good jump over, you know, a little more than a week. So another jump or two like that, and we'll see. I've told you this too. I also think he's hitting the ball hard and has been. Like he's been making good contact. Maybe there's a little bad luck in there, but again, if your starters are going to give you the kind of pitching they've had, and you've got the kind of bullpen they have, they'll be okay for a while. They'll be okay at least for the next few weeks, probably. And maybe they'll just win them all like they're doing right now, 14 out of 16. That is crazy. And the reason I keep saying 15 is because this is the game technically that we circled when things were bad, 16 games, right? This is the 16th game. This is the end of it.
They got Remember the finale on that road trip. Yeah, five. They won the last game on that road trip to at least salvage 2-8 before they got in to this 16-game stretch.
So we were like, oh man, 11-5, they'd be right over 500. So how does 14-2 sound to that? That's just crazy. What a stretch. The Royals play right here on KFH 1 o'clock today. You'll hear it. That coverage begins. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about it all. You can also listen, by the way, at Odyssey.com. You can go to the Odyssey app if you are at work in the middle of the day. Probably a pretty good way to listen to the Royals. Just throw the earbud in and you're hard working and listening to the Royals with us here on KFH. All right, when we come back, it was another good night of NBA playoffs. Are the Knicks going to do this thing? They get another wild win? I mean, I think the Celtics are better on paper. Can they dig out of an 0-2 hole, though? I don't know. Going back to New York, we'll get into that one. The Thunder bounce back in a huge way. And I got to ask Max if our Winnipeg Jets are okay for the bet. So we'll do all that. We got Tim Fitzgerald later this hour as well. Don't go away. More Sports Daily right after this.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Good morning, Jacob and Tommy. This is Kevin calling about the Royals. I'm curious what your thought is on how the Royals deal with having four first basemen, possible first basemen, on the roster when Jack gets called up, with Mark Canha, Vinny, Salvi, and Jack all able to play the position. Would a trade for an outfield piece be possible at that point? Just curious for your thoughts. Thank you.
Love that, Kevin. That's coming in from the Odyssey app, where you can leave voice messages. Appreciate that. It's the elephant in the room, I think, organizationally, Kevin. Honestly, I would imagine it's an uncomfortable topic. When a guy like Jack Caglione's available to you in the draft, you take him, right? You just take him. You just, like, the thought to me of Major League Baseball teams drafting players based on the positions they need on the big league roster would be a fool's errand. There are teams that have done that. It's so hard to get graduated to the big league level, let alone be good. If you've got good players, you just take them. But now you have this situation. Jack, I wonder, Tommy, if the Royals were deficient at first base, like if they had a big hole, do you think Caglione would be in the big leagues yet? Because I think he might be. I mean, I think that's a part of the reason he's not called up yet. It's not the biggest reason, but I think it's probably part of the reason. But it's something they're going to have to work through as an organization. And it's not just, to Kevin's point, there's four guys that can play it. It's not just that. Canha's fine. Canha can play the outfield. Canha can do something else. The problem is you have two guys who kind of have to play there. In Vinny Pasquantino, we think, I don't know that he's ever played another position, but Salvador Perez, who's a catcher, needs time there. He can also DH for you, right? And so could Vinny in theory, and so could Cap. But you have three guys for two spots. I think Canha, I'm not worried about Canha. You got three guys for two spots. And it's not just three guys. You've got one future Hall of Famer, one all-star caliber first baseman when he's right, and one of the top prospects in baseball who's tearing the cover off the ball in the minor leagues. That's why, Kevin, honestly, for me, I've been so frustrated that they won't play Caglione a little bit more in a corner outfield spot to see if he can do it down there. It's one organizationally, Tommy, it's got to be uncomfortable.
It sure seems to me that there are two paths that they can go down. Number one is what you just mentioned, try to develop Jack Caglione as an outfielder. And then at that point, you've kind of solved a couple of different issues there because their outfielders, at least offensively, are not very good. And then on top of that, you're finding an everyday playing position for Jack Caglione, who is everybody's favorite prospect right now for good reason. And so that's one path for sure, but that's not an overnight thing. And I do think that, you know, if he can play the outfield, that's a much slower process to get him up to the bigs. I just imagine the log jam and the complications that would come into play as you're trying to figure out if you're giving everybody enough playing time, where they're playing, where the, I mean, like, I just think that that's kind of a game of chess, and it's really difficult to do, and it'd be a challenge for Matt Cotrero to accomplish. The other path, the other scenario, is I kind of think the odd man out's probably Vinny Pasquantino, and I love Vinny Pasquantino, but if push comes to shove, like, what happens if Jack Caglione can't play the outfield? What if they're just like, look, he's not developing at a corner outfield spot. We don't feel like defensively it's more of a liability than it is a benefit to have him out there. But we absolutely have to have his bat. We absolutely want him on the roster. You're not moving Salvador Perez. He's your captain. He's your future Hall of Famer. He's all of that. And he can catch. And he can DH.
Yeah.
Vinny Pasquantino can play first base. Like, that's it. He's a first baseman, and you know, he can DH as well. But, I mean, it's hard for me to think that the odd man out's not Vinny Pasquantino if worst-case scenario happens. And I think that we're a long way from that. But it is one thing that's been in the back of my mind for quite a while.
It's been in my mind since last year. I don't like that it's in my mind. Vinny Pasquantino is very much a heart and soul of this team player. I don't like that it's in my mind, but it's been in my mind for a long time. Because he's a non-power hitting first baseman, it's hard to not have power come from that position. It can be done. It's not the end of the world. But when the power is staring at you in the face, it's hard. I wouldn't say. Here's what I wouldn't advocate for. I wouldn't advocate to trade Vinny Pasquantino. So don't misunderstand any of this. My preferred course of action is to put Cags in a corner spot in the outfield and kick the can down the road and just see what happens. Maybe he's really good at it, right? Like, what I don't want to do is pretend like a young, talented baseball player is incapable of playing multiple positions.
Well, we don't know that. And he's not played.
Right. We don't know that he can, but we don't know that he can't either. So that's like, to me, it's like, why aren't you, like, he's in AA. Worried about his bat. You're not worried about his defensive development.
But don't you think that if they were more confident in his abilities to play a corner outfield spot, that maybe he would be doing it? Like, maybe they're telling us something without actually telling us something.
And that takes us to my less preferred path, which is moving a guy like Vinny Pasquantino. I don't think,
like, it's really easy to be, you know, and we've both done this. It's really easy to say, just play him in the outfield. Why isn't he playing? Like, they might be telling us something without actually telling us something.
Yeah, if he can't do it, he can't do it. I think the point is, though, he's in AA, let him try. And the only reason I say it is because almost everybody on this team, with the exception of Vinny Pasquantino, do a little mental exercise here. I believe everybody on the team, with the exception of Vinny Pasquantino, has or can play multiple positions, right? Am I missing anybody? There's not another player on the roster that has not played another position at some point in time over the course of their career. He's the only one.
I mean, this is Freddie Fermin is primarily a catcher, right? Like, does Freddie Fermin play anywhere else? He's pretty much a catcher.
He's played first base.
Okay.
I think so. I'm pretty sure he has. So, like, everybody else does it. In the whole organization, it feels like. Vinny's physically not capable of it, but I think because of his body type as much as anything else, but he's the only one. And so it's not, and maybe right. I'm not like throwing stones at the Royals for not playing Cags in the outfield, especially if they don't think he can, but that creates this problem here, but it's a good problem. Problem is not the right word. It creates this situation. It's not a problem to have too many great players at a position. That's not a problem. It's a situation. It's a situation. So Vinny's contract, it's not like he's on some expiring contract either, right? Like, he's not. He's got a ton of value to the organization. He's not a free agent, Tommy, until 2029. Cag's clock hasn't even started ticking yet. Salvi, is there anybody that doesn't think Salvi has at least like 2-3 really productive years left? Like, it's not something that's going away quickly. So I don't know that there is another solution other than making a trade than Jack Caglione being capable of playing a corner outfield spot.
That's the only other thing I can think of is going back to Salvador Perez and saying, hey, man, we know you're getting older. You're going to have to be just a catcher. Like, we can't have you play first base. We can't have you. I mean, maybe every once in a while you can DH, but you're going to be a catcher. And then at that point, when you're catching, then Vinny is, you know, DHing and Jack Caglione's playing first base. And then Mark Canna can play the outfield when he needs to. That's about the only other path that I can see. The only issue with that is Salvador Perez is no spring chicken, and having him.
I think Salvador Perez would love that scenario. Well, sure, he'd love to catch every day.
I mean, they protect him. You know, they protect his health and his longevity by not having him do that. And so that would be the only other path. And then you would have Vinny be your primary DH and let Jack play in the field as your first baseman. Then you've got, you know, Salvi catching, and when he can't catch, he either DHs or he gets a day off. But at that point, I don't think you can put Salvi at first base, because then again, you've got three guys that can play first base, and you've got to try to, you know, at least clear the lane for Caglione to be your starting first baseman.
So I'm trying to think of really good, like, comps to guys who are first basemen, like who are just like, you just look at them and you're like, oh yeah, that's a first baseman, but who have also over the course of their career played the outfield, who have been such good bats that it was like, just find them a spot, right? Carlos Lee keeps jumping to mind. You remember Carlos Lee, El Caballo, the big burly first baseman, played for the Astros and the Brewers forever. They stuck him out and left pretty frequently. This is a different sort of example. Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper was an outfielder that has converted to a first baseman. How about Salvador Perez, a catcher that they're just like, you know what? We don't want you to catch every day. Go play first base. Like, that's what I guess that for me is where, like, it is really, really hard for me to believe that Jack Caglione could possibly be that bad in the outfield. He's never really played out there. But I've looked at much less athletic, much less, you know, speed, just the ability to run after a ball, which Cags has some speed. He's huge, by the way. I don't know if people have actually watched him. He's a monster. But there are so many examples of lesser athletes doing this thing that I cannot imagine he's that bad.
But keep in mind, if you go all the way back to his college career, he didn't play in the field at all. He was a starting pitcher and a DH.
Right. Yeah.
So like you can't even have a comp going back to his college days of his prowess in the field, because he didn't have any. Like, that wasn't the role that he played. He was pitching and he was hitting. That's all he was doing on that team. Like, defensive abilities out in the field was not part of his game very much at all in college. And so that makes it even more difficult, because you have nothing you can even look back on in his college career and say, oh yeah, like, he can do that.
I wonder if Vinny could play left field. Like, honestly, it's funny. We think of Vinny and his body type. You know what's crazy? I just looked at this. Vinny's huge, right? He's listed at 6'3", 245. Cags is bigger. He's 6'5", 250. He'll step on the field and be one of the largest baseball players in baseball. Like, he is a monster. Maybe it's worth, as you're looking to possible solutions without having to trade somebody, because I don't think anybody wants to do that, maybe it's worth seeing if Vinny could play a little left field or right field in a game. You're late in a game. I mean, this sounds crazy, but I don't think it's that crazy. If they could ever get up on a team like 8-0, let's say you're up 8-0 and it's the back end, like, throw him on left. Hey, Vinny, let's take batting practice out there. Can you track down a fly ball? It's a spacious outfield. I get it. Maybe you don't do it at Kauffman Stadium. Maybe you only do it in smaller ballparks. I mean, I just get creative, because the greatest need for this team right now is very clearly the thing that Jack Caglione is doing very well. Like, it's an obvious fit and need on the roster, but it is like this logjam. Good problem to have. I can tell you this, Vinny Pasquantino would be coveted on the market, but if you want to start getting real crazy and thinking about potentially trading a player like Jack Caglione, which I feel like is almost next to impossible, you'd have to the trade asset that would come back on something like that, you're talking about like a perennial all-star outfielder that's playing for a bad team right now, or a team that's needing to move. I don't know that that player exists. Like, who would that player even be at this point? I don't know who it would be, but you would have to, it would have to be for a deal like that, like a controllable all-star caliber outfielder. If you were going to move a guy like Caglione, his controllability, his raw power, the production he's showing at this point in the minor leagues. And even if you win that trade and he reaches his upside, you'll probably regret it forever. It would be, it's not quite the equivalent of trading Bobby Witt Jr. It's not there. He's not that prospect. Bobby Witt Jr. was one of the great prospects of all time. He's not that, but he's pretty close to it right now. Like he couldn't be doing better in reality. So I love that question, Kevin. It's one we wonder about all the time. And it brings up the elephant in the room. And the elephant in the room is, could they ever trade Vinny Pasquantino? Was it last year, Tommy? There were real rumors around that, weren't there? That wasn't just us wondering. Like, weren't there real? There was, I think there was some substance to that, if I remember.
I don't remember if there was or not. I mean, I know that there had been a little bit of, speculation that maybe that could be a target, but I don't know if that was ever a legitimate real thing.
The only reason I think it was is because it was right before he really turned it on and was like leading the league in RBIs before his injury. And we were like, man, good thing they didn't do something like that. Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully he just starts hitting and then you can take your time with Cags. I mean, they can obviously take their time now because they've won 13 out of their last 15 games. Real quick, Tommy, a couple of minutes here. The Thunder last night, there's not a lot to say about that game. Revenge game a little bit. That was certainly something. 149 to 106. Knicks Celtics, I think, is where the attention will lie today, though. As the Celtics, the defending champs, fall down 0-2. They didn't take as many threes. They cut their, the amount down by a pretty significant number, but they still didn't make any of them. And it's killing them right now. Live and die by the three.
You know what's killing them is the fact that they have led in both of these games, the majority of the games, and they haven't been able to win either one of them. And the Knicks have been able to come from behind and in both of the games and be clutch. That's what the Knicks did in the previous series. That's what they've done so far in this series with the Celtics, is the clutch shots, the comeback mentality, and all of a sudden Boston, who looked like a team that could repeat and have the talent to do that, they find themselves down 0-2, and really it's of their own doing. It's of their own making. And I know give the Knicks a ton of credit for their clutch shots, but the Celtics should have won both of those games. They led the majority of them, and they weren't able to get either one of them done.
Yeah, it's I still, like, who are you picking in this series? Like, even down 0-2? Are you picking the Knicks?
Oh, no, I'm picking the Knicks.
I sure hope so. I sure hope so. They deserve it. And people like to pile on New York sports fans. I get it. But when you think about like the Knicks, the Jets, like what if you were a Knicks fan, a Jets fan, and a Mets fan? Like, there are plenty of suffering fans in New York. There are. I think playing at the Garden, I think the Knicks are cool. I got no issue with the Knicks. I think they're cool, and I hope they're able to get it done. They're up 0-2, or up 2-0 going back home. Man, that'll be fun. Against that team, too, that city's going to go up in flames. They're going to be so excited, and then they'll probably lose to the Pacers in the next round or something. I don't know, or Cleveland. But it's good to see it. And how do you not love Jalen Brunson? The Thunder, I mean, that's pretty impressive. I don't think Denver cares. Denver got it back home, split. They won on the road. What do you think about that series overall?
The Thunder showed why they should be a team to be reckoned with, at least in the Western Conference for sure. I thought it was surprising that they fell down one game to none. They had to have this game and even the series last night, and they knew that. Like, it was I think you called it a revenge game earlier. Like, it absolutely was that. They flexed a little bit on Denver, and at this point, I feel like that's probably going to continue. I still really like the Thunder. I still really feel like they're the team that, they're my pick to go all the way.
I don't have a pick to go all the way. I don't know enough, but yeah, I think that was an impressive enough win to swing that back, even with the split going back home. Rick, real quick on our conversation about the first base for the Royals, he said it's going to be tough adjusting to major league pitching alone, yet alone learning a new position. I don't know that, Rick, anybody's advocating for the first time Caglione sees outfield time is at the big league level. He's in double A right now. Now's the time if you're going to do it. Not once he gets called up. Like, you got to find out if he can do it. You don't learn on the fly in the big leagues.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, joining us now on the program, our buddy Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, always locked in to everything happening with K-State Athletics. Fitz, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you boys?
We're good. You know, we're just entering and chugging along in the transfer portal season, trying to cipher through these court cases and all of the things. You chimed in or at least retweeted something. Nick Saban is making a little noise, I think, trying to get into the president's ear, it sounds like, about maybe some possible solutions. I guess I would just start with, do you, and I don't have a real strong opinion about this. Do you think Nick Saban's a good voice to find solutions in all this? Is he with the times enough, or is he too old man on the porch?
That's a great question. I'm not sure. I'll be honest. Nick Saban surprised me a little bit in the way, he speaks about things now post coaching. He seems to present himself as someone who wants to be a steward of the game. At least, you know, some of the comments, you know, about the amount of money being spent in college sports. And I'm like, well, yeah, Alabama did a lot of that. And Jacob, I think we've come to the point now where there's going to be a resolution of some sort. And here's why. If you saw the $40 million club put out by Indiana coach Kurt Cignetti, it's showing what football programs are spending around $40 million to build their rosters this year, which is absolutely absurd. There's no longstanding SEC teams. Texas is the only SEC team in there, along with Texas Tech, which is the problem, is they've intruded on the wealthy club, and that's upset some people. But without any SEC teams, now all of a sudden the SEC's like, hold on, if this turns into wealth-based and not just revenue-based, a program like SMU can outspend SEC programs. And now it's a problem. See, that's what bothers me. It's not a problem until the SEC isn't at an advantage. But we all know college sports is a mess, and if they want to form a presidential commission on this, let's see what they come up with, because this whole system's so broken, we need a new system. This system can't be resolved. You can't patchwork this one back together. It has been destroyed by the courts and, honestly, by the way the NCAA has handled this. So we need to go back to the table, probably with the assistance of Congress, to set some things up, if you can get Congress to do anything, and then proceed from there. But I'm hopeful. But back to your question, I don't know what to think of Nick Saban. He has represented the uber wealthy of college sports, basically, for most of his career.
You know, it's certainly, you know, if you want something fixed, going to the government to get it fixed doesn't usually seem like a great idea. But, I mean, hey, at this point, it is what it is. You know, the NCAA has proven themselves to be, over the years, an extremely effective lobbyer. Like, that's what they do. They're great at that. And, you know, basically being a roadblock for any kind of meaningful progress and moving things forward. I mean, the NCAA as a entity has been drug along kicking and screaming and has fought this every step along the way. It's hard for me to think that even with the presidential commission and even with Nick Saban co-chairing it and all of that, it's hard for me to think that the NCAA is going to go along with really anything that that even remotely threatens to upend their power in the way that they have been ruling for decades.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's basically going to take a full-on rebellion from membership, particularly Division I, because this doesn't affect two and three nearly as much. And Division I's going to need to assert itself with seeking changes or departing the NCAA. And I think only that threat will get reform. I mean, in an ideal world, you go in and remake the NCAA into what it needs to be. As you mentioned, the NCAA never seems to recognize that it's part of the problem. Even as the courts rule this stuff, even as fans and coaches have said it for years, the NCAA thinks, you know, it's the gatekeeper of purity for college athletics, when in reality they've been a big cause of this because of their inequitable application of the rules so often. And now just kind of sitting out decisions they don't like from the courts and just not reacting to it and letting things spin wildly out of control. That's not what leadership's about.
Well, listen, it'd be cannibalism to tell the NCAA to, you know, get rid of itself. It's not going to, it's not, I think maybe I'm in the minority. I think the NCAA can still have a role in college athletics. It's just different. Like, we do need an organizing body for all the tournaments and all the different things that have to happen. It can still play an important role. I just like the idea that one set of rules should be the same for the very obviously uneven playing field that, by the way, has always existed in college sports. It's now just more front and center than ever before. Like, that idea that one group can govern all of that, that's what doesn't make sense. The solution has to be the conferences. Like, I don't want the other solution, which is another organization to start that only features some schools and not the others, right? So to me, it's pretty easy. Just like the conferences, you govern within a set of rules in the conference.
I would agree. Yeah. I mean, I think the conferences are going to have to take control of this. And, you know, if anything, within the NCAA, I think the Division I has an argument to break free, because Division II and III gets to vote on a lot of their stuff. And they're like, why? This doesn't affect them. And they have way more votes. It doesn't make sense. I think Division I probably wants to have complete control of its existence and try to set out rules that work for it. And if the NCAA won't do that, then you will see rebellion. But if they kind of get on board with reform, instead of just talking about it, actually thinking of ways to reinvent itself, then I think it can survive.
Let's talk a little bit about K-State basketball. Fitz came down a few days ago that Jerome Tang has a new member of his coaching staff. Bill Peterson comes in as an assistant coach, and he's coached with Jerome Tang before at Baylor. He was in a support staff role there, but he's been at a bunch of different levels of basketball for a long time, has worked with a lot of really notable NBA players as well. What does Bill Peterson bring to Jerome Tang and to the staff?
Experience and knowledge. You know, if there's been a knock against this coaching staff, is they didn't come in with enough knowledge as head coaches and, you know, schematics and those type of things. They were trying to do it as a group think, and it just hasn't worked. And I think going out and, you know, hiring a veteran, you know, an old fart that's been around the block, I think, if you want to call mid-60s that, but that's exactly what they brought to the table, as someone who's seen a lot of basketball, coached a lot of basketball as a head coach at times, has worked with players at all levels. And I think this is a really important step for the program, maybe to begin to carve out its total identity of who it is and what kind of players it wants and what style of play it takes to the court. And hopefully that this coach can help form that for Jerome Tang.
Do we know anything else? Have you guys dug anything else up, had a chance to find anything else about the Serbian superstar coming in?
Well, you know, any time nowadays when you're going over to Europe and getting into these clubs and trying to find a player, you have to buy out a contract. These are, you know, even though they're the equivalent of college-level play over there, these are clubs that are paying, so these players are under contract. So it gets a little more complicated. You got to entice the player to come and entice the club to release them from the contract. And I think that's kind of where it's at right now in those negotiations.
All right, Fitz, what do you guys have going for us at Go Power Cat? What else is cooking there?
Well, we did a lot of discussion on the loss of Tremaine Carroll, the strength and conditioning director for football, and how that might impact. And we'll continue to look at that, because his departure to USC kind of came out of left field, and it was an internal promotion at K-State, and we'll explore that some more. But the guys are working on a podcast, and just same old for the month of May.
All right. Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. Hope all is well in this calm before the storm here pretty quick.
Good to hear from you, boys.
There goes Fitz. Appreciate it. If you missed anything with Fitz there, you can go back. Always love picking Fitz's brain about the happenings of bigger picture college athletics. He's been a long time representative of schools that aren't quite up there financially with the mega powers, but who still deserve a place at the table, like K-State. And I think that perspective is always good as we, Tommy, get into these larger scale discussions about what should be happening. I can't decide if I think Nick Saban being at the charge of the changes for college sports is a good thing or not. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I don't know.
I mean, Nick Saban historically has been on the side of the fence of players should not be compensated. Like that's been
not like they are now.
Well, I mean, he's been from an abolitionist point of view as far as NIL and the, you know, money being made and all of that should not exist. Amateurism, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know. I mean, that'll be interesting, you know, to see how he fits into this commission. The one thing I always go back to, generally speaking, in my life and just about every area of my life, whenever I hear like the whole, the knock on the door and, hey, we're the government, we're here to help, I'm always I'm good. I'll pass.
That's
I'm
Paul,
good.
That's Paul Savage's favorite analogy.
Yeah, and so I've always like been in that world just in anything in my life. And so if college sports cannot fix itself and they have to turn things over to the government to fix it for them, it must be in really, really bad shape.
Well, the problem they're facing is the legal problems. Like they need laws in place to help guide them to the end. I think that's the challenge. I don't know that college wants to involve the government because I don't think you mentioned they're a lobbying arm, the NCAA. They're not going to like what politicians can pull from popularity out of this. They're not going to like it. That's not going to be good for them. So it's hard. Now you're seeing, though, and maybe this is, I never give the NCAA credit for patience. This could be a place where patience is going to pay off for them a little bit. Because there isn't anybody that loves what's happening in the transfer portal right now. Nobody does, right? Coaches don't. I mean, players do, probably to some degree because they're getting paid through it. But like fans don't, coaches don't. Kids are getting lied to. It's not. It's just like it's weird and kind of yuck and all that kind of stuff. This is the first year we've seen that. So maybe it'll help build momentum to more legislation to be more restrictive. Could be. I mean, it's possible. It's possible, certainly. But we're a long way from it still. I don't know how long. Nobody does. Who knows? But Saban's in the president's ear. I don't know. I mean, that could be a wild development in all of this.
All right. Busy show today. Our thanks to Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, talking all things Kansas State and college athletics. If you missed any of that interview, go back and listen to it on the Odyssey app. Coming up today, a couple of hours of Rich Eisen until we've got Royals Day Baseball, the finale of their series against the White Sox, going for this sweep against Chicago. For Jacob Albrecht, I'm Tommy Caster. See you tomorrow.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.